Man, thank you. Welcome. All right, we sold the house. I didn't get as much as I wanted, but I am a smidgen on the greedy side. Hey, you need both sheets that are on the back thing there when you come in. Get both sheets, please. Okay. And then ooch in a little bit because we got some latecomers coming in. Ooch. 1 Peter 3 says this, whoever would love life and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from deceitful speech. He must turn from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. In other words, the idea of going after peace is not just, you know, I got to go after peace. You got to pursue peace. Okay? Then he says this, for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears are attentive to their prayer, but the face of the Lord is against those who do what? Who do evil. Okay, who do evil. Now, I'm going to go over to Joshua 24, and Joshua 24 says this. Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your forefathers worshipped beyond the river in Egypt and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your forefathers beyond the river or the God of the Amorites in whose land you're now living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. I found out something several years ago, and I've taken this message that I preached several years ago, and I decided I was going to redo it today because it applied to where we were going in this little series. Heart disease is the leading cause of death in America among adults. Abortion is the leading cause of death among children. I mean, ponder that for a minute. Okay? I thought the leading cause of death was when you're on 169 trying to get to your office and there's a woman in front of you putting mascara on while she's driving. I thought this was the leading cause of death in America. You're pull over, lady. You're going to kill us. They ought to have signs. No cell phones while you're driving. No mascara while you're driving.
No, you just watch the road.
Every day, thousands of surgeries are done to fix damaged or dysfunctional hearts. In sports, if you quit before the game's over, it says you have no heart. You have no heart. We've seen this in the last several championship games when other teams have played Clemson. And so that happens all the time when you're in an inferior program. Now, Israel had been given land it didn't labor for, cities it did not build, food it did not plant, okay? They all provided by a holy God. Yet watch this. In this series that we did on Moses, they lacked the heart to follow after God. They had a serious heart problem, okay? Joshua reminded them about the bondage of Egypt. He reminded them of God's deliverance. He reminds them of their lack of faith at Kadesh Barnea. He got on them about the way they worshipped idols with their golden calf. And it became that the idol became the center of their life. They wanted what God could do for them, not necessarily God. See, when you go to your quiet time every morning, you're going there to talk to God. You're going there to listen to God. You're not going there just so you can check something off your list that said, okay, I'm a good Christian, I have my quiet time today. You're going to have an audience with God. Today, like Israel, there's a new heart problem, a disease that's under the watchful care of God's eyes. And I'm convinced of this. No surgery is going to heal it. No bypass is going to heal it. No transplant is going to heal it. And divine healing can only come from the hand of God. This heart disease that I'm talking about is found in the last place you would ever expect to find it, the Christian home. And today, the Christian home is under attack. Not just from without. We would expect that. I mean, if you're not under attack from without, we would expect that. The Christian home today is under attack from within. And within our lives today, there's battles that go on in our families and in our homes. And this heart disease that we're talking about, Peter's going to continue and pick up where Joshua let off, and he's going to share some things with us. Now, before we do that, though, I got to finish up last week, okay? So we got two over here in the tithing section over here next to Lisa. You know, you have 19 children. That's why they're late, so don't get on their case about that. We talked about the needs of a husband. So I told you your husband's greatest need is what? Tell me, ladies. Praise. When you praise me, I'm the solution. When you don't praise me, I'm the problem. I'm the problem, okay? Your wife's greatest need, men, is what? To listen with your eyes, ears, and heart. You have to understand what they think and feel about what?
Everything.
Everything. You say, so what's the key to meeting your wife's needs? Easy. It's so simple. Watch. Do what they say, when they say it, at the speed of light, with a right heart attitude. Pretty simple. Pretty simple. Yeah, and you should know what I want without me telling you, and you should do it the way I want, and when you don't do it the way I want, and I'm criticizing you, you take it like a man.
Yeah, but you forgot one.
Which one?
You have to know whether or not we really want you to do something about it, or just stand there and cry. That's an important thing. Who just had that situation?
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Death.
Don't scare him. Hey, yeah, we have. Yeah. Engaged couple here. Y'all be careful.
You are wrong. You're here to find out why. You are wrong. You're here to find out why. All right. Seven basic needs of a wife. She needs, here's your fill in. We already have it filled in for you. I decided you wouldn't have to do it. You need the stability and direction of a spiritual leader. Now, ladies, stop for a minute. I want you all to look at me. Please don't do this.
You need to be the spiritual leader of our home.
Well, you know what? If I tried to lead, you would tell me what it is I did that wasn't quite right. So you want me to lead you, but what you want me to do is lead you your way, your idea, the way you want it. Now, lead me. That's not leading. That's called bondage. Now, four marks of spiritual leadership. Number one, that you're a man who has a desire to seek the Lord. A wife needs and knows that you delight in the Lord. When she sees that you're spending time in the Word of God every single day, and she sees you seeking after God, your wife will be secure. Your wife will be secure. When she sees you sitting in your recliner reading your Bible, your wife will be secure. Because no matter how Lynette and I get along, she knows that I'm seeking after God. Okay? She also knows I'm slow in listening, fast in speech, but I am what? I'm seeking after God. Number one, number two, that you have convictions based on Scripture. Remember, no woman wants to be married to Mr. Apathy. No woman wants to be married to some guy who has no convictions. You got to have convictions based on Scripture. As your wife sees you establishing God's standard in your life, she is going to be motivated to submit to you one out of every 15 times. You can't interrupt. This is serious. Okay. Okay, go ahead, quick.
We are here to represent the Owosso Baptist Children's Home annual drive for our collection, and we've had these buckets outside our children's area, and not very many people have figured out what they were for, and so now we're by with our cute little faces. And
how much do you want? Cut to the chasing.
Well, what you get to do is decide what class you want to put it in. Or you can put a whatever you have in each class if you want. But I want to introduce real quick, because you guys don't always see our kids and know who they belong to. This is Hudson Davidson, Annabelle Adams, Elizabeth King. This is Isaac Call. This is Smith, and this is Rachel Tollett. Started to say Rebecca. Anyway, you can just holler out whoever, or they can move around amongst you.
Better chance. Someone stand there called Chuck. Everybody get your money. Chuck, would you come around with something that they can put it in, and we'll split it up equally?
No. We could do that. The accountant says no.
The boys have to win.
Hey, if it's equal, it'd be... Hey, listen. You should know by now that boys never win.
No.
Take the tie and be happy. Tying.
At least you didn't say, have I told you, why haven't I told you about this?
All right. If you got, David, would you help him?
Third grade. Go for it. There you go. They know what, of course they just...
Redheaded kid.
Exactly.
Feed the redheaded kid. Moving expenses.
Somebody back here.
Somebody back here, guys.
Go get
him.
Go get
him.
Move fast.
Redheaded kid, go over there. Hey, can I borrow a dollar?
Just to let you guys know, yesterday 1,400 people attended the Owosso Baptist Children's Home Ladies Luncheon at the Renaissance Hotel, where the kids get to model the clothes that were purchased for them, one outfit for school, one outfit for church. And so you're helping kids that might not get a new outfit to go back to school in feel good about themselves as they go with all their extra baggage into these public school systems. So thank you so much. We really
Amen.
Appreciate it.
Lesson number two. Women can interrupt when you're talking anytime they want for whatever reason they want. And it's always a good reason. And the sooner we learn that, the better. That's exactly right. Out of fear for my wife. You got to have a determination to follow your convictions. Number D, that you're leading in a spirit of love. Don't tell me you love me. Show me you love me. Change the way you talk to me. Watch your tones with me. Be careful on how you deal with me. I need to know you love me because I need to see you producing the fruit of the Spirit in your own life before you start telling me you love me. I want to see the fruit of the Spirit in your own life. Now, she needs to know that she's meeting vital needs in your life that no other woman can meet. I mean it this way. I love being praised. Makes me feel good. I'm very cautious about people I don't know that are praising me. Be very careful, women that come and praise you. Be very careful to men you don't know who want to listen. If I can get you to fall, it's going to be because some guy will come into your life who will listen, or some woman come into your life and praise. So be very careful about how you listen and praise with people. Okay? She needs to hear and she needs to see and hear that you cherish her and delight in her as a person. The key word is to cherish your wife. I want you to know my wife is a treasure. There's times I want to take her out in the backyard and bury her. But she is a treasure. Okay? To cherish her is to seek... Listen. To cherish... To cherish her is to seek great value in her as a person, to listen to her, protect her, and praise her to other people. That's so important that you're praising her to other people. Now, she needs to see that what she says is important and that you're willing to listen. Okay? She needs to know she has your ear. Now, follow me. This is really important. Okay? You cannot nag me until I agree with you. I have to understand what you think and feel. I do not have to agree with you. When you come and tell me what you think and feel, and then you come back 3 minutes later and you tell me what you think and feel again, what you think and feel again, which I got what you think and feel. I don't agree with you.
Then you're wrong.
Obviously. So you got to learn how to be able to trust God sometimes to say what? I made my point. And then instead of constantly reminding me of what you think and feel, take what you think and feel to God and let God work on me. There's a balance here.
Hey,
now,
let me add to that real quick. We laugh a lot, but we seriously have learned. I don't try to talk him into stuff. Because
that went down the wrong hole. Lynette, I don't know how you could sit there and lie to these people. You're one of the most tremendous manipulators of all time.
Here,
well, Mr. Spiritual.
Here,
yes.
Only when I know I'm wrong.
Which is what?
Always.
She needs to know that you understand her by protecting her in the area of her limitations. One of her limitations is this. They want to be understood. We just don't want conflict. They want to know we truly understand what they think and feel. And that's why they keep what? Chirping at us until they're convinced we understand.
But Harry, I feel sorry for men sometimes because sometimes we don't even know why they feel like that.
Yeah. I used to say this. What do you I said, Lynette, what do you need? She goes, I don't know. You're just not meeting it. Well, how am I supposed to meet it if you don't know what it is? And watch this, a vice versa. There are times when I need to come home from work and pop off without you telling me the 21 reasons why I should have had a better day today. Sometimes you need to just sit and what? Listen and be quiet. Don't make dinner, bake a cake the way God intended you to. Now. Just seeing if you're still with me. She needs to know that you enjoy setting time aside for intimate conversation with her. Small talk, straight talk. She wants to know her great need is communication. She wants me to understand her. You with me? But the problem we face as guys is every time we start talking, I feel like I'm always the conflict. Because when you start coming to me with, here's what's wrong, here's what's wrong, here's what's wrong. You know, I can't fix everything, and it frustrates the fire out of us as guys because you're coming to me with stuff that I don't have an answer for, and you make me feel like I'm supposed to.
You are supposed to.
Number six, she needs to know that you're aware of her presence even in your minds on other matters. You have to know your wife's daily readings. When you come home, where's Grady? Oh, he's at the horse races. Hot Springs, he's at the horse races. He plays at a big thing in Hot Springs every year. If Grady comes home and Lisa starts the conversation with this, your sons, reader, get in the car, go back to work, you know, go mow. I think I'll mow. She needs to see that you're making investments in her life that will expand and fulfill her world. As the head, we are here to help develop and train the rest of the body. And so part of our responsibility as men is to be able to set times aside where we are training, our wives are training, and especially we are training our children. Okay? Number eight, a husband needs a wife to be able to understand her thoughts and feelings when they're even different than his. We've talked about that. You just have to be willing to sit and what? Listen. Now, five steps to a healthy need-meeting life. Here it is. Give your mate freedom to think and feel differently than you. Give your mate freedom to think differently than you. Should be. It's not in there? All right. You can pencil this in later. I got to have the freedom to think and feel differently than Lynette. And ladies, you have to give us that same freedom. You want the same freedom that that you can think and feel differently. We need the same thing. Give them the freedom to express themselves differently than you. Okay? You say, what does that mean? Lynette's tones start at 3. My tones start at 7. I'm sorry, I was raised this way. Okay? So when I'm at 6.5, that does not mean I'm out of control. I'm being who I am.
You can't say that. That's what you say as the counselor to people when they say it's just who I am. You say, no.
In my case, I can say it's just who I am.
No, Mr. Counselor.
Do as I say, not as I do. No. Now.
If it's, that's something that we work at, and if you are, you're a product of what you came out of. And here he came out of they were Irish Catholic Yankees that drank a lot and talked loud and were rude. And
you have never been to an Irish wedding without a fight breaking out. I promise.
His grandfather was pushed out the window. Harry wanted to get up on a ladder. He is height challenged, but
yeah, my grandfather fell out of a third-story window. He was alone with my grandmother. Drinking heavily.
Okay, so here's the point. If you have bad tones, you don't hear it. So I came out of a house where my dad was soft. I mean, he was a strong man. But he talked respectfully and kindly. He really was a Jesus lover. And there was fruit of the Spirit in his life every single day. So when I married Harry and his tones were ugly, I thought there was...
They weren't ugly. They were just louder than yours.
No. I could say Harry and you go, what?
And you don't wait, time out. Because usually when you say Harry, there's a criticism coming. There's a problem coming. So I'm just preparing.
But the point is, we have learned to help each other. You need a little more help still. But we're working on it.
Job's not finished.
But he doesn't hear it. So here, what we're saying is, if you don't hear yourself, but your mate says, hey, your tones are bad, just listen. Don't take offense at it. We worked at it as a family, Andrew included. We just always
worked. Remember what he touched, tones are what? Tones are everything.
So if your tones are bad, help each other. Don't get offended. Duck and...
Avoid... I got to move on. Avoid degrading statements when you disagree.
We're
avoid them.
I'm having a hard time following you
because
you're not...
I know. I'm giving extra.
Right.
Pay attention.
I'm paying attention.
Okay? Avoid degrading statements. Like this one. Ready? You are just like your mother. Ooh, no, you know. My favorite one of all times was Lynette would get mad and she'd say this, oh, you're so spiritual. Well, don't you go down to that church and tell them how to have victory in Jesus, you hypocrite. You know, I mean, that.
Okay, wait. You can't say that without giving them the context. That was the first year of marriage.
Save this sheet. We'll be doing it again next week. Well, you were.
Well, my response was to usually you saying, you're in the flesh. And I go, okay, Mr. Spiritual. Because you usually start.
She would do this. Flesh? I'm in the flesh? Let me talk to you about flesh. And hit my flesh button. And then I'm like, ugh. And she goes, now who's in the flesh?
So, y'all, we have never, in the 10 years that we've been teaching Sunday school, we've never done the marriage stuff. And just so that you know, this used to be a whole weekend thing. So we're racing through it, and you're only getting pieces of it. But
one of these days, we may have a little small group couples weekend.
But here's what we had to learn. Every single one of you is married to somebody opposite of you. You have your own stories, but God does that on purpose. Because that's how he creates balance in us. You know, and if you're... you're an extreme and God marries you to another extreme, that getting to the middle is going to be bumpy. And for us, whew, it was like a hurricane.
But I want to tell you something. As bad as that first year was, we never doubted it was God's will to be married. Never one time. Matter of fact, I think I shared this with you before. On our 10th anniversary, we were doing a couple seminar, and I got her an anniversary ring with 9 diamonds in it. And she goes, 9? We've been married 10 years. Here was my response to the whole group. You ain't getting a diamond for that first year. You are not getting a diamond for that year.
But it's significant to understand that God, we're going to picture, our marriage has to be a picture of Jesus and his bride. And so it's a constant effort. It's a constant work, but it is so worth it. And we are, I mean, we're not a great picture. And we laugh and cut up a lot.
But I'm a good golfer.
Jesus is a great big part of our marriage, way more than he ever was 29 years ago.
Real quick, I agree with that. I think what was critical that you said quickly was you knew God put you together.
Yeah, absolutely.
As we went through that, I mean, there were times after some knocked-down drag-outs, I'm just looking, okay, when I die, you owe me an explanation.
Right.
See,
the problem you face is simply one I can relate to. Being married to the strong-willed child is really not...
Now I can turn around and say, thank you.
All right, stop everybody. We got to hurry, okay? I want to talk to you on the home. I want to talk to you about 3 things real quick. Hindrances to your home, how to have hope for your home, how to have healing for your home. Now, next week, look at me. Next week will be the final vendetta in this on how do you restore a love relationship? How do you restore a love relationship where we get that love and that feely love that we should be having for each other? How do you restore a love relationship? And you're going to find in Scripture the stuff I'm going to share with you next week is going to be so important, not so much for us to restore relationship, but to keep them what? On track. Okay, hindrances to your home. Search me, O God, thoroughly and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there's any wicked or hurtful way in me. Lead me in the way everlasting. There are 5 hindrances to your home. Here's the first. It's called blockage. Blockage. Major cause of heart disease is blockage. The blood cannot flow freely. Doctors perform thousands of surgeries on arteries every day. The blockage is caused by what? Sin. And we have allowed sin to find a place in our home, and we've allowed sin to become acceptable in our home. We have pretty flesh, we had wicked flesh, unacceptable, pretty flesh, acceptable, but it's really not. And we've allowed pretty flesh to become acceptable in our homes. And so what we have to realize is we have to stay consistent with the Word of God concerning things like this. The hardening of the spiritual arteries and the Spirit of God cannot flow freely through our lives and our homes. We have a hardening of spiritual arteries. Okay? You say, well, how does this blockage happen? How does the flow of this? In other words, if we're children of God and the Spirit of God's supposed to be flowing through us, what stops that? 3 things real quick. Number one, we have departing hearts. Departing hearts. Watch me. Look at me. God would bless Israel. Israel would depart. God would convict Israel. Israel would return to God. God would bless Israel. Israel would depart. God would correct Israel. Israel would return to God. We're them. We're them. Listen, and again, I'm going to camp out on this. If you are not spending serious time with God every single day in the Word, you have left the gates open for the enemy to come after your heart, and he'll what? The departing heart comes because God is not the center of what I need to be doing every single day of my life. God has got to be the center. He's got to be the centerpiece. We have deceitful hearts. The Lord said, these people come near me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me by man-made rules. So deceitful hearts is this. And deceitful in our case in here today is really a strong word. I want to replace deceitful heart with we're not being honest. We're not being honest about our own spiritual life. Watch this. We're not honest about our own spiritual condition. How are you, brother? Oh, fine. Doing great. Doing great. Jesus, doing great. You're such a liar. You know, because you know what? We don't have the freedom to come and say, how you doing, brother? You know, I'm sucking air right now. My walk with God stinks right now. You know, I got trouble with my eyes. I got trouble with my mind. We can't tell each other what's wrong with us because you know what? It'll make us feel like you're looking down your nose at us. And we're not honest. We're not honest about our own spiritual condition. And most of that, we're not honest with the guy in the mirror about our own spiritual condition. We have divided hearts. The double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. We have hearts that are what? Divided. You see, my soul wants to be in charge, but my flesh is really an adversary. And my flesh wars against my soul every single day of my life. Add to that, I've got my own private demon that wants to follow me around and attack the poo out of me. And you know something? It tells me something. We must be doing something right that the enemy's spending so much time attacking us. We got to be doing something right if the enemy's going to spend time attacking us. Here's the second one. The second hindrance is what I call bad blood. Bad blood. Would you agree with me that several years ago, AIDS scared the bejeebers out of all of us? I didn't want to play basketball with Magic Johnson. Sorry. But there's a heart disease, there's a blood disease that makes AIDS look like a cold. And it's called unforgiveness. And we allow unforgiveness to come into our homes. And we hold grudges. An unwillingness to repent. An unwillingness to turn back to God. Watch this. An unwillingness to communicate and resolve whatever conflict. Now, the one thing Lynette and I do after we're done popping off at each other is eventually we're going to sit down and we're going to what? We're going to talk through the issues to where I understand what she thinks, feels, and wants. She understands what I think, feel, and want. And we come up with an action plan we're both happy with. You say, well, what if she thinks, feels, and wants A, you think, feel, and want B? Then we go to God and we ask God, what does he think, feel, and want? And then we wait for God to give us the answer. Either he will change the circumstance or he will change our hearts. But unless the three of us are in agreement, we do nothing but wait. We wait on God. Why? Because God may be wanting to teach all of us something right now, don't you see? The third one is what I call broken hearts. That's a real hindrance. Broken hearts. How many hearts have been broken over poor choices? How many families have been broken over extramarital affairs? Over renewed friendships on Facebook that draw you away from God? Broken hearts because we have kids on the run from God? And you know something? What the enemy wants to constantly do is to bring us to a place where our broken heart draws us further away from God than closer to God. Remember, the broken vessel becomes the open vessel. When my heart is broken, I can come to God seeking the answers. And remember what I've taught you about brokenness. It's an understanding that I cannot do or be what I need to do or be without divine help. I can't pull it off without divine help. And there has to be a brokenness over the things in our life that draw us away from God. And today, broken hearts hinder our home. Bad hearts, that's the fourth one. That's a heart without Jesus. Now look at me and listen to me. There's people in this room today that God does not know you. In a crowd this size, there's someone in this room today that you know that there's something missing in your heart and life today, and it could very well be that you have it here, but not here. You have religion, not relationship. There has to come a time where you put your stake in the ground and you truly trust Christ as your Savior. And that from that day on, we are training ourselves to walk like Christ, talk like Christ, act like Christ. But you got to get honest. Then there's the fifth heart. I call that the besieged heart. That's a heart that does really, really good and everything's fine until the circumstances of life change. And when the circumstances of life change, you fold like an accordion. You fold like a cheap $3 suit. Everything's fine with you and God until there's a conflict. Until there's a conflict. And if you want to really see a test in your life, move at 69 years old. We are not in agreement about what this new house is going to look like. We're not in agreement of what the rooms are all going to look like. Now, I know...
He's telling him his dog's playing poker on velvet and gold.
You know, all I can see is we have this really nice room upstairs that have all these beautiful golf pictures. You know, and I'm trying to figure out how they're going to get burned in a fire, you know? Oh, good. Thank you.
See how easily that would resolve.
Yeah, you put them in the attic. Now, okay, let me share. See these five hindrances? I want to make this real clear to you. There are times everybody in this room is going to go through some of these. They cannot be the pattern of your life. They cannot be the pattern of your life. We're not talking about having a couple bad days. That's okay. You're going to have a few bad days. But once it becomes the pattern of your heart and your life, you've got to ask the question, do I really know the Lord? And if I do really know the Lord, why is he not correcting me? Or if he is correcting me, watch this. Why am I not on my face before him saying what? Lord, uncle. Uncle. And do you speak a guy at Randa Parks, our park that we used to all go to? My mom would drop us off at 8:30, pick us up at 5. Augie was the caretaker of the park. Augie was a little guy that picked up my 270-pound brother and threw him over a 6-foot fence. When Augie would get you, he'd get you by the hand. And he'd take your wrist and turn, and he goes, uncle, 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 parn, uncle. Uncle, 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 parn over with sugar on top, you know. And I mean, he could just hold your hand and go like that, and you're like, ah, you know, dying. Sometimes you got to cry uncle. Now, how do you have hope for your home? How do you have hope? Because you know what? I love this. Brother Harry, you don't understand our situation. It's a hopeless situation. Really? Really? What's Peter talking to us about the first three chapters? What's it all about? Our hope. Our hope. And if anybody could understand the need of hope, it was Peter. Six things to restore hope. Number one, you need renewed integrity. Someone asked me one time, what's the missing ingredient in our homes today? Easy. Integrity. Listen to the definition. A firm adherence to a code of moral artistic value. Incorruptibility. It's a state of being complete and undivided. See honesty. It's a state of being complete and undivided, see honesty. And that's the integrity we have to have in our homes today. We're complete, we're undivided, we're honest, we're working on this. In our social life, our secular life, here's your fill-in, our spiritual life, and our service to God. We got to have integrity. Number two, there's got to be involvement. Involvement means this. It's more than dusting Jesus off on a Sunday morning. Jesus Christ must be the center of our homes, period. Now, we're not on a performance-based acceptance with God, but you know something? He ought to be the what? The center of our homes. Number three, it's inconvenient. Coming to this class every Sunday morning can be terribly what? Inconvenient. Studying all week, so I have something for you, at times becomes inconvenient. Putting others ahead of ourselves, inconvenient. Church on Sunday morning, inconvenient. Spending time in the Word daily, inconvenient. Praying, inconvenient. Forgiving, inconvenient. Coming and dying on the cross. I love this statistic. It's a couple years old, but I'm sure it still holds true. Today, Fathers spend an average of 37.2 seconds of quality time with their children every day. 37.2 seconds. You know why? Inconvenient. There has to be intercession. You better learn how to pray. And you know, we're fixing to get into a teaching series. We better learn how to what? How to pray. Number five, there needs to be intimacy. Now, I don't have time for this one. You know, and all the guys are saying, no, wait. No, let's camp out here a minute. Take some time on this. Intimacy here is not just physical intimacy, but it's spiritual intimacy, and watch this, emotional intimacy. As my husband, I want to know I have your heart. As a wife, I want to know I have your heart. There's another thing for hope, and I think this is really the big one for me. We have forgotten something. You say, what's that? We're invincible. Look at me, people. We win. When it's all over, we win. We are invincible. There is nothing that can keep us from the love of God. Nothing. We're invincible. How to have healing for the home, real quick. Number one, they have to have a spiritual foundation. Christ-likeness is not just the goal, it's the lifestyle. We're not just believers, we're followers. And there's many of you in here today, I know you're believers. You're going to have to become followers. Big difference between a believer and a follower. And so there has to be a spiritual foundation. Number two, there has to be sacrificial love. You want to have healing in your home? Your love needs to be unconditional, uncontrolling, unwavering, and it needs to be sacrificial. You're going to sacrifice. Number three, you got to see the significance of each person. Your kids are people, not projects. And they're significant. What Grady does is significant. What you do is equally significant. I mean, whatever it is you do. It's significant. You know, what you do every day is significant. You know, just because he's making the $300,000 a year, what you're going to do is significant. And that tithe, I'll share with you where that goes. Now, you're significant. Here's the fourth one. Sameness is not an option. I didn't say sameness. Because in some of your homes, sameness is not an option. There's crazy people there. We're not going to be the same. You know, put your cookie cutter away. We're not the same. We're going to be what? She's really weird. She is so different. She thinks and feels so different than I do. And it's okay. Number five, you want to have a foundation, you need to be sensitive. We all have needs. You got to be sensitive. Most of the conflict we have is we're not being sensitive to each other. We got to be sensitive to what's going on with each other. I got to be sensitive that I can't handle everyone who comes into my office for counseling the same way. You know, some people come in, you got to be tender and gentle with them. Some people come in and, you know, you got to let them have it. It just depends on what the circumstance is and what God's trying to do in these people's heart. You can't treat everybody the same way. You got to be sensitive. And here's the last one. You got to seek help. Now, there's a number of... Seek. Hey, if I'm interrupting you people, let me know here. Spiritual foundation, sacrificial love, significance, sameness, sensitive, seek help.
Well, then why don't you have a blank help? You messed up there. Sorry.
My secretary normally catches that. All right, listen, real serious for 1 minute because the old people are going to barge in here in a minute. I want to tell you a final story, and I want you to listen close to this. Because for some of you, this story is going to ring true. One day, a husband and wife were arguing, and he got mad, pulled a suitcase out, put it on the bed, and started filling the suitcase, and said, "That's it. I've had enough. I have had enough." He throws the D word out at her. "I'm walking out the door. I'm divorcing you. I've had enough of this." And, of course, mom's laying on the bed crying. Dad takes his suitcase, and he's walking down the stairs. And his 10-year-old son said, "Dad, where are you going? Dad, where are you going? Daddy, where are you going?" And he kept walking. And finally he says, "Dad, wait a minute. I don't know where you're going, but you forgot your Bible." "You forgot your Bible, Dad." And of course, the dad immediately turned back around, went upstairs, put the suitcase away, and knelt down with his wife at the bed. Because you know something? In the life of our families right now, this is not the time for the people of Evergreen to become indifferent and forget our Bible. This is not the time in your relationships where you forget the Bible. It is the key to what God's doing in all our lives. Don't forget your Bible. And don't forget, you are an overcomer. You are a what? A child of God. You're a warrior. We got back this week and we drove down on Friday to Grapevine, Texas, 4-hour drive to go to a funeral of a little girl when she was 5 years old. And when I did the 6-month interim down there, she just hung on me every time we were around. She was a girl that was adopted from Russia and at 22 years old died of cancer. And I said, "Lynette, we have to go down there." We drove down there, got to see some of those folks that we were there for 6 months and say hi to them and then turn around and drive home. And, you know, in the process of all this, the dad got up and did the eulogy. And he did such a great job, not just talking about his daughter, but talking about the process that they'd all gone through. And she was dating a boy, and they were planning to get married, and he married her 3 days before she died. And she said it was the greatest day of her life. Now, most of us would say, "Well, she should have said no and let him go." No, in that scenario, that's exactly what should have happened. Yeah, it's about being strong.
Well, but I mean, at the end, I thought that's why.
No.
She just had a lot of fight.
Well, in the picture, you can see they're doing a wedding, and she's got the mask on to breathe, and she's standing there like this.
Mm-hmm.
She's a warrior. She's a warrior. I don't know what's going on in your world. I don't know what God's doing in your life today. Not only is it not the time to forget your Bible, but it's time to what? Fight back. Fight back with your prayers. Fight back with your heart. Watch this. Fight back in your family with your love. Fight back.
Or even better, God's love.
Yeah. They better be the same. Fight back. How to restore relationship next week. And then we'll get back into Peter and what he's teaching us the following week. Amen. Father God, thanks for loving us today. Thank you for teaching us. Thank you for just ordaining this time in our lives that we can be people who seek the face of God. Father God, I just thank you for what you're doing, even with Lynette and I, as we move, that you would make it smooth and easy, or if not easy, at least smooth. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. See you next week.